Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It works the same whether you download or stream. We're just glad you tuned in. And we're getting ready to talk with listener Aaron about a great Walt Disney World vacation from this time last year. So right before Christmas, we're going to have a great trip report, big family going down. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. You know, you always want to look for your friends and family's passions. You know, whether it is driving a Jeep like I do and get lots of accessories for that. Maybe you have a golfer in the family and get them clubs or tees or balls, whatever you have. The Disney fan needs great information, needs great books, and thewisdomofwalt.com has two great books for that Disney fan. You've got the original, The Wisdom of Walt, focused on Disneyland and how Walt rallied those folks around him to get the most out of them and help do really kind of the impossible. And then you have the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, that focuses more on Walt Disney World. Either way, both books are great gifts for the Disney fan in your life. Check them out today. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures from seriously almost every room on property, and so much more. Check them out today. For $14.95, you're getting 365 days of great information. And don't forget, if you're a procrastinator, this makes a great last-minute gift for that Disney fan in your life. You just need their email address. So check them out today. Tell Len we said hello. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1418 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Thanks, as always. I don't tell you enough, but thanks so much for kicking off a week with us here on the podcast. We do always hope that maybe we make the commute a little bit easier, maybe that next mile on your run a little bit quicker, or at least smoother, maybe less painful. I know how that is this time of year, training for the big races. But we just hope that, you know, a little Disney talk brings some brightness into your Monday and gets the week started the right way. So today, again, another virtual trip report. We're so excited. We're heading out to Indianapolis, Indiana. Aaron's joining us today. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, Mondays are tough, but, you know, I guess it is what, I guess yeah, it's what you make of it. You know, you got to take it and say it's going to be a great week. All right, so let's have some Disney talk here. And this trip happened that we're going to talk about today, about this time last year. So it really, you know, it's a perfect fit for today. So tell us about, you know, the crew that went down. When did you go down, and where did you stay? And then we'll kind of dive into the details for everybody.
Okay. We went December 2nd through 8th last year. It was me, my husband, our almost three-year-old, and then we also had my mom, my dad, and my brother. And we stayed, my parents have a timeshare, so we stayed off-site at the Wyndham Bonnet Creek. We had a three-bedroom apartment, basically, there. So that was great for our group.
I love that, though, because that's something that I don't have experience with, and I think a lot of our listeners are kind of in the same boat now, you know, because I would say probably 70% of our audience either stays, like, you know, in standard hotel rooms, or maybe they're DVC members, you know, and that's something where, like you said, I mean, a three-bedroom, basically villa apartment over at Wyndham Bonnet Creek. That I'm excited to hear about that, but we'll jump into that in a second because I want to get a good chunk on that. But tell us about how this trip came together, because when you have, you know, kind of multi-generational groups and, you know, a larger extended family going together, how does that? What's the genesis of that trip?
We hadn't been, my husband and I both went a few times, you know, as kids, but neither of us had been since high school. And my mom was really itching to go back, especially with, you know, with my daughter, and my daughter had never been. So it was kind of, my mom really pushing it, but We knew that we would be moving in July of last year, so we were waiting until after we had settled from that. So we had actually been planning this trip for about a year and a half, and I didn't know at the time that you actually almost need that much time to plan a Disney trip, but it worked out for us.
So did you plan though to be there during the holidays, or was that just a coincidence that that's how the timing worked out? Or you like big fans of seeing all the decorations and all the specialty things going on?
We definitely like the holiday season. It was a combination of that, the weather, and the what were supposed to be low crowd levels at that time. Those were kind of the three things that were driving us to December.
Awesome. So now, in the email when you contacted me a long, long time ago, because we booked out so far in advance, and guys contacted me, I hate that, but we can only do three shows a week. I don't know how to do another one. But you mentioned that this was kind of your first time where you were like the point planner. You were getting things done. So what was that like? Because there's so many, you had little kids, you had your parents, and you have you had a lot of variables. So how did you best kind of handle all that?
I love, I'm a planner for sure, and I really love planning vacations, and I do this for pretty much every vacation we take. And so this was really up my alley, and everybody involved was cool to just kind of let me do my thing, and they followed me around. So that's how it went, and it was fun for me.
It is, and that's how I make my living. That's what I'm juggling 27 trips a day. Here we go. It's kind of... It's like I feel like a circus act some days, because it's fun though. It really is when you boil it down. I think about it, and it's very stressful to me too though, because these are people's memories and they're friends that I care about very much, and I want everybody to have the best vacation ever. And I'm sure you felt the same way, because I'm sure you your parents probably had a goal of seeing your child have first experiences.
Right.
You obviously have expectations of maybe what you and your husband like. So how did you kind of balance everything when you were trying to lay out a good plan?
I talked with everybody, and just what are your top maybe five rides that you want to make sure you do, and or any experiences and things like that. Because I did want to make sure that everybody got something for them. I just tried to plan a little bit for everybody. But for the most part, my parents especially were pretty happy to just, they really wanted to just see my daughter experience things. So they could have done without all the, roller coasters and things that my daughter wasn't able to do. But I did mix some of that in, for my brother and husband and stuff. And I was pregnant at the time, so I couldn't do a lot of that stuff anyway. But
add another factor on top of everything. That makes it, you're going for the expert level there. I don't know if I could I can handle all that. How did you, were you all in the same town? This is the question I always have, because with technology, it is a lot easier to kind of collaborate on, I would like to do this, or have a meal here, or maybe, sleep in this day, But if you're in the same town, maybe you have, I've heard a lot of our listeners, everybody gets together and has Sunday dinner. That's kind of when they talk about the upcoming trip expectations. Some people use, Skype, or they, use a shared Google document things. There's all kinds of ideas like that, and I like throwing those out there. So how did you kind of keep everybody on the same page with what might happen during the trip?
We were actually living, my husband and daughter and I were living in Kansas for a lot of the planning. And so we were not in the same town. But I used I made Google Forms and put in all the rides and had them, that's how nerdy I am, and had them all rank,
Hey, you're preaching.
I really want to do this one. I could pass on that one. And, they played along at least.
You're preaching to the choir today. Everybody else is like, oh yeah, great idea. It's the normal people. I got my air quotes going. They're like, that's kind of crazy. People listening today are like, oh, preach on. That's awesome. I'm google.com right now. No, that's great. So that's awesome, because when you have plans, and I always say this on the show, and I mean, my guests say it every Monday when they come on, they say, we had a great plan, but we deviated from it a lot during the vacation, and it turned out awesome. You don't have to follow the plan. It just kind of gives you peace of mind knowing I do have some expectations. I have some, I know I'm going to have a meal here this night if I want to. I'm going to have these experiences through FastPass. But it's always kind of the deviations, things that don't, that aren't on the spreadsheet that actually turn into the great, great experiences. So I like that though. So let's talk about your staying at Wyndham Bonnet Creek. So what was that like, and walk us through the experience there? Because again, like I said, many of our listeners probably haven't stayed there.
Yeah, it was great. Like I said, it was really nice to have all the space, especially my daughter goes to bed, a lot earlier than the adults do. And so it was nice to be able to put her down in a separate room and we could still, watch TV or whatever in the evening. We had breakfast there every day because we had a full kitchen. We were able to do laundry in the middle of the week and in our suite. And so all of that was really convenient. We rented a car because the shuttle system there is not easy to deal with. So we did rent a car and I had an annual pass, so we were able to park for free, but at the park. But I would definitely recommend renting a car if you're staying there because the shuttle is not a great service.
So for folks that don't know, where is Winnebonnet Creek located? You know, it's kind of like on property, off property, it's kind of like border there. So tell people where you were, what you were close to.
I believe it's near Caribbean Beach.
Yeah.
I've never stayed on property and I don't know a lot of that, but I believe that's the resort that it's closest to. But it was really close to all the parks.
You know what, too? You mentioned, and this is something that I'm not kidding. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been laughing when you said what you just said a few minutes ago about the laundry during the trip. And we've had the privilege to stay with friends that are DVC. We split a 2-bedroom villa with our friends, the Gardeners, and other accommodations that we just pay cash and stay at Old Key West. And I always thought, who's going to do laundry when they're on their Walt Disney World vacation? You know how nice that is because you don't have to pack as much. And it's so great when you get home and you don't have, 7-20 days worth of laundry. It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the best. It's not that you need it during the trip. It's just that it saves you so much time when you get home.
And it's not really that big of a task. You throw it in the machine, go out to the parks, you get home and you just toss it in the dryer. Boom. It sounds so ridiculous though if you haven't done it. I know, because I used to think, because people would tell me that. I'm like, you're doing laundry on vacation? What are you thinking? Anyway, so tell us about times in the parks and, what everybody thought maybe high, because again, we're looking back over a year. So what still sticks out in your mind? What are some of the memories you made?
One of our favorite experiences was Mickey at Town Hall, and he no longer talks, I think. Is that right?
That's right. All of a sudden, I don't know why. He just doesn't want to, he talked himself all out. I don't know.
But that was, it was just such a magical moment for everybody. And it really just put us in kind of kid mode because Mickey had asked us to fly around the room like Peter Pan. So we have these pictures of, 6 adults and a toddler flying around the room with Mickey. And it just was, one of those Disney moments, for all of us. And that was one of my favorites that stuck still, that I still remember. We love the Lion King show at Animal Kingdom. That's one of our favorites. And another factor on this trip was that my mom was recovering from ankle surgery. And so she had a motorized scooter thing. And so because of that, we ended up in the front row for the Lion King show. And my dad and my daughter were both called out to be a part of the show. So that was really cool for us to have that experience at one of our favorite shows.
Let's see how good are you though. What animal, what section were you? Do you still remember a year later?
We were in the lion section.
There you go. the giraffe. What sounds a giraffe make? I don't know.
That's cool. My dad was called out to do the lion noise, which is probably the only reason I remember that.
Good stuff. Well, let me ask you too, real quick. Well, you mentioned your mom was in one of the motorized vehicles, and of course, I think that it's one of those things that it can be a frustration sometimes for other guests that don't need them. It's a necessity for some that do need them. And you're in a new situation here. So was it a frustration? Was it something that was there any lessons that were learned with your, having a loved one in an ECV during the trip?
Maneuvering the parks was not that bad for me. She didn't really talk that much about it as being an inconvenience. The thing that I didn't factor in, I guess, was that, she had to bring the ECV into the room to charge it each night. And just the added few minutes of getting that thing down to the car, we had to take it apart to fit it in the back of the van. And just that whole process of taking it apart, putting it in the van and then getting to the park and putting it back together. That just added some time that I wasn't, really planning on. But actually in the park, it wasn't too big of a deal. Just, the usual people walking in front of you without realizing that you're there, that kind of stuff. But otherwise, it wasn't too bad.
How were the crowds and weather this time last year?
It was warmer than I thought. we were in the 80s most of the time. I was kind of hoping for like mild 70s, but it was okay.
We're just talking about how cold it is here in the Midwest right now. So, yeah, I'll take 80s.
Yeah.
give me some 80s for a little while. I can deal with it. I can't find my shorts anymore, which is really sad. So you mentioned the Lion King and, you know, having character meet and greet, you know, greetings and stuff like that. But I mean, what else? Cause I would imagine that, you know, maybe you and your husband are excited about, you know, maybe doing some of the more thrilling rides, but then you got the child and you also have your parents that probably don't want to go on Space Mountain, you know? So how'd you balance that out? Did they kind of stay with the grandchild and you guys went off, or how'd that work?
Well, since I was pregnant, I was not
that's
able
true.
To ride
I forgot.
All that stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
So we did, you know, I kind of split some of the fast passes where, you know, I would take my daughter and somewhere and they could do something else. I just tried to kind of balance it, and we did split, you know, some of the time that if there was something that I couldn't have a fast pass for. So like in Animal Kingdom, for example, I had a fast pass for them to do Expedition Everest, and I took my daughter to do, to meet Mickey and Minnie. So I would do stuff like that that she could do, but that everybody else wouldn't be sad to miss necessarily. I just tried to kind of balance everybody's needs.
Here's what I like. You know, when you have children that age, you know, toddlers, it seems like when they come home, you know, they'll talk about like two or three things incessantly, like for the next 6 months, you know, and it's what they, you know, and it's usually some oddball thing. It's usually not like meeting Cinderella or, you know, Ariel or anything like that. It's usually like some off the wall interaction they had or some kind of experience. It was real minor. Was there anything like that happened for your daughter?
She really loved Anna and Elsa, which is, you know, kind of a major thing. But one thing that we talked about for a long time was one of the Vikings in Norway when we were at Epcot took her hand and like blew his little horn and marched her through Norway, like holding her hand and announcing her to everyone that was around, and it was hysterical to us. And she was just like, "What are you? What are you doing to me?" And so she wanted to watch that video that I took of that over and over again. That it was pretty funny for us.
And there's your memory right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's always something like that. Like, yeah, well, I went to Walt Disney World and this Viking was blowing his horn. People are like, what? I thought you were meeting Mickey Mouse. No, some Viking. Yeah. And you went to where? No, I love that stuff. So how did you guys, I would imagine you said you had an annual pass, so you had member makers, so you came home with a lot of great pictures.
Yeah, we did.
Do you do anything with those pictures, Scott? I'm curious because I'm not super creative. I download them and then they stay on my computer. I share them on social media, you know, some of the few things, but do you do anything creative with them to share and keep the memories?
I make photo books for like each year, just with, you know, with family photos and stuff. So I made a book that kind of goes along with those of just our Disney World pictures. So I've been looking at that with my daughter because we have a trip coming up in January, and she doesn't really remember. She's already forgotten, sadly, our last trip. But I've been kind of flipping through that every now and then with her and just showing her, you know, what we might do again next time and things like that. So it's fun to be able to flip through that with her.
It's so funny too, how kids that age, cause you know, we grew up with, I started going with Paige when she was about 4 or 5. But Mallory has been going, you know, once or twice a year since she was 6 months old. And it's amazing. Like, you know, the difference between 3 and 4, how much their taste will change and how, you know, sometimes it actually, they kind of in a way like regress, like maybe they ride something when they're 4 and they won't ride it when they're 5 because they're scared all of a sudden. It's a really kind of weird journey. So what would you say from this last trip, last December, maybe 2 or 3 of the attractions that your daughter really, she liked meeting Anna and Elsa, but any attractions that she really liked?
She liked Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Wow.
She was just tall enough to ride that one, and she really liked it. I'm afraid that she's not gonna. I feel like she's gonna be more fearful this time, in January. So I'm glad that we took advantage of, and we met a ton of characters on the last trip, and we did a lot of character meals. And thankfully, she was all about that. And I have a feeling she's gonna be more fearful this time. So I'm glad that we did that last time. Let's see, what else? I'm trying to think what else she liked. She, I mean, all those, you know, Fantasyland attractions. She liked A Small World a lot. Yeah, those were probably her favorite, Small World and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
So you guys got around to all four parks, though, because you've mentioned things in Animal Kingdom, Epcot, and Magic Kingdom. Did you guys go to the studios?
We did, just for half a day, but we did go over there.
So was there anything she liked at the studios that was, because I like to, people are kind of, the studio is going to be awesome here. Of course, Toy Story wasn't open back then, but,
right.
What'd you think about, you're there for half day. Did you see like the Voyage of the Mermaid? What'd you guys do?
We did Frozen Sing Along, which, that was another one that she loved. We all loved that too.
Me too.
I'd heard that it was funny, but it was really, really funny. I think that's kind of underrated from what I hear. We met Olaf and Chip and Dale. We waited a long time for Toy Story Mania. That was our longest wait of the whole trip. It was about 45 minutes for that. And I think it wasn't posted that long. I think they were having some difficulties. But that was about it. And then we went over to the Magic Kingdom for the rest of the day after that.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good day. And I agree with you. The Frozen sing-along is underrated. Yeah. Now, of course, we're getting a sing-along for Beauty and the Beast coming to Epcot here soon. So
yes, I'm excited. I doubt it'll be open by the time we go, but I hope it will be.
That'll be fun. I don't know when it's going to open, but in case they ask me to sing Be Our Guest, I got to get myself tuned up here. Yeah, that's the last thing Epcot needs is Mike Rallman singing. Good Lord, that'd be horrible. Anyway, so you mentioned you guys did some character meals, character dining. I like that because while it's expensive, it's also kind of maximizing your time. You're having a good meal.
Yeah,
you're also
sure.
Knocking out characters you don't have to wait in lines for later. So which ones did you do and what did you think?
That was exactly why we planned them. And I'm throwing all my wrenches in here. My brother has autism. and he, one of his, quirks is that he takes a really long time to eat. And so it didn't really matter, where we were going to be eating. It was going to take us 45 minutes to an hour. So we kind of thought if we're going to be spending that time eating anyway, let's, just make it a meal where we can get some things accomplished too. So we did Chef Mickey's on our arrival night, which was great because it kind of introduced my daughter to the characters and she got to warm up, as each one came around and she got more and more excited. So we're going to do that again on our January trip, have that on our arrival night. And then we did a Kershaw's and Crystal Palace, and I think that was it.
Those are like to me, those are like three of the best ones out there. Chef Mickey's,
yeah.
You're getting all the main characters right there, and the contemporary is so much fun. I'm a monorail freak. I like trains and I like monorails, so I just love being in the contemporary. So I love the food there. Breakfast is really good there. Also, you mentioned Akershus. That's kind of a different one, like where you got kind of the cold appetizer bar and then you order an entree a la carte. People either tend to, princesses are great. Don't get me wrong. That's fun. Everybody likes that. But what'd you think about the food? Because I think people either like are hot or cold on that. There's not a lot of middle ground.
Yeah. We did a brunch there. So we actually had all like breakfast food. And they were just putting lunch food out when we were leaving. So we didn't even really get to eat any of that. But the breakfast food was really good. We enjoyed all of that stuff. But I had heard that lunch and dinner were a little more questionable. So that I did book a breakfast on purpose.
Good call. I love it. I would do it all the time. But my wife and kids, no, they're not.
Yeah.
I think you got to really kind of, you got to be slightly adventurous and you got to like some kind of seafood for that cold appetizer bar, and they're not into seafood at all. They run, so that's I don't know. I'm like the lone wolf in the family that eats seafood. It's scary. So another thing, I think you mentioned in the notes you guys ate at Be Our Guest as well, right?
Yeah, we did.
So tell us about that.
We had
experience.
Dinner there. That was great. I was kind of surprised actually because there were not many families in the area where we were sitting. And, for as hard as it is to get a reservation there, I was kind of surprised by that. But we were eating there on a Christmas party night. And so I guess everybody was like out doing party stuff and we were just milking our last minutes there because we didn't have Christmas party tickets that night. So I don't know if that was part of it, but there were not that many people there for as hard as it is to get a reservation. But, the food was okay. It's a little fancier than other places, but my daughter ate the meatloaf and liked it okay. But and we met the Beast at the end because we did dinner, so that was fun.
Yeah, it's just fun being in there. You know, they really hit it out of the park when it came to, taking an animated, place and making it real. It's ridiculously cool. Not just because our podcast is called Be Our Guest. I love that place. It's amazing. I wish they would do that for like a Lion King restaurant. You know, like I see that and I'm like, okay, let's take the most epic scene from, you know, the classics and let's have a place to eat. I'm still holding off for my Toy Story character meal. I think that'd be so fun. Buzz, Woody, and everybody coming around.
That would be fun.
Ah, come on, Disney, get on it. Anyway, so let me ask you this too. You mentioned your brother's on the autism spectrum. So was there anything that you guys did to accommodate him to help him have the best experience possible? Because that is very common. And, you know, I think that for the best of us, Walt Disney World is overstimulating. I get overstimulated within 10 minutes of being there, and I love the place. But, I mean, there's music playing, there's smells constantly, there's people passing you by. It's overwhelming. So how did you accommodate that?
He's, you know, on the milder end, so we didn't really have to make that many adjustments. Like I said, the food, part of that was not, you know, because the rest of us eat a lot faster than he does, and so I feel like sometimes, you know, he gets kind of anxious because we're all like sitting there waiting for him. So the character meals were something that kind of allowed him to eat at his pace. And we were, you know, not really even noticing because we were busy doing, you know, meeting characters and stuff. The other thing I think was like the weather consideration and going in December, because he and I both really don't do well with heat. And I think, you know, standing in lines, especially in the heat, would not have been good for him. So we did that. And then of course, he can wait. He's an adult now and he can wait in lines and do stuff like that. But just trying to plan our touring so that we didn't have to wait in too many lines for everybody's sake. He's pretty mild, so we didn't have to do too much around that.
Well, and it sounds like you did well, too. You mentioned you only waited 45 minutes for your longest attraction. I mean, shoot, that's like an average or a good wait in the summertime. So.
Yeah, they were skeptical of my level of planning. And then on our first Magic Kingdom day, we did 8 rides in the first, 3 hours. And so after that, they were like, okay, we will do what you say.
That is the funniest thing, because my wife, you know, we first started going down, you know, and I was didn't have the podcast the first couple of trips, but I've been reading books, touring plans and stuff. And, you know, she was kind of skeptical too, but now like whenever she talks to anybody at her school or like, you know, anybody, a friend or something at one of Mallory's cheer competitions, she's like, I'm just telling you, I don't even think about it anymore. I just let my husband just take care of everything. She's like, we don't wait in lines. She's like, cause he doesn't wait in lines and we don't wait in lines. She goes, I don't know how we do it. We do it every year, but you know, you just gotta be smart. You know, I think that everybody listening to the show, you just got to kind of know the general strategies put you, you don't need to follow touring plans step by step, but you just need to know this is how most people do it. This is how I'm going to do it. This is the best way to get things done. It sounds like you did the same thing for your family.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I think it's just the difference of having a general plan, so you're not just standing there like, okay, what do you want to do next? You know, just having some idea of a general schedule helps a lot.
Now, let me ask you this too, because we get this question all the time on Wednesdays, and it's about traveling to Walt Disney World while you're pregnant, you know, while you're expecting, because of course you don't want to ride any attractions that are jarring or fast or, you know, anything like that. You've got dietary restrictions a lot of times, and you can't move as quick as you normally can. So what did you learn from this trip? Because I'll remember we went on our first anniversary and my wife was pregnant, and it was one of the best trips we ever took, and we did way less attractions. But like we saw the movies, we just sat around on benches. And I mean, I am not kidding. That is not, I don't know why that was such a great trip. I don't know. Maybe it was just exciting because we're having Mallory. But like, I love doing stuff and we didn't do a lot of stuff and it was still one of the best trips ever.
Yeah. I was in a pretty good point of my pregnancy. I was about halfway through. So not, you know, not enormous, and I was feeling pretty good. So that helped. I didn't have too many. I felt like I was able to move and get around easily. Although by the end of the week, we were pretty tired, and my husband and I had a date night on our last night. And we went to the Christmas party, and another favorite memory was we sat on Main Street for like an hour before the first parade and just watched the snow and like watched people. And it was just, that was like one of the best things, was just sitting there and watching everything going on Main Street at the Christmas party. I don't know if we would have done that pregnant or not, but it was a nice way to end the trip.
It's so funny to hear that because, you know, like we have our like emotional brain, I think, and our logical brain, and your logical brain saying, okay, wait, how much these tickets cost to the Christmas party? And
right.
I'm saying that my highlight of the night was sitting on a bench on Main Street USA watching the snowfall. Wait, what? That doesn't calculate.
Yep.
But then emotionally, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about because, you know, I have been to the Christmas party and sat on Main Street, snow coming down, the projections on the buildings, the Christmas music playing, the parade going by. I mean, it is, if you want to like be in a Christmas movie or like in a Christmas card, I mean, that's as close as most people are ever going to get. And I love Christmas. So I was like, I was in my happy place.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So funny. All right. So you mentioned you're going in January. So before we get out of here today, anything you're looking forward to on the next trip? Because now you got to kind of, you know, you've been there 12 months ago, you're going again. So what's on the agenda for this next trip? What are you hoping to get out of it?
We're actually doing early morning magic at Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. So I'm looking forward to that. Just getting Toy Story Land, especially, you know, kind of getting all that stuff out of the way before the park even opens. Because, you know, we're staying off site again, and so we don't get fast pass access until 30 days out. And so, you know, I know we're not going to get any of those Toy Story attractions at that point. So I'm excited for that and excited to ride some of the stuff that I couldn't do last time. And then my son will be about 7 months, 8 months. So yeah, just experiencing that with him, and I'm sure that'll be another, you know, interesting layer to our planning.
Your daughter's gonna love Slinky Dog. That's gonna, she, if she likes Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, she'll love Slinky Dog.
I hope so.
You know what? Your son too. That we took Mallory when she was 6 months old, and that was one of the best trips to take her. Like when she was, honest to God, I remember she. You know, every kid's different. When she was like 3 or 4, she was meaner than snot because she wanted to do everything and take everything down in the stores.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're not like we're bad parents, you know, like we're parenting her.
Oh, but no, I get it.
She is hard headed, man. And so that was more of like, God, for every 5 seconds, I was like, shh, 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 shh. Like, and it was only one kid. Mount Paige was pretty old by then, you know, but it was like, I was wore out. You know, when she was 6 months old, she would sleep in the stroller. Now, the thing is, you got to, and you're seeing this, you've done this. Like when they're that age, though, the amount of stuff you got to bring is incredible.
Oh, yes.
Man, it's ridiculous. Yes. So what do you guys do for like strollers and stuff? Do you bring your own? Do you rent? Or what do you do?
We brought our own last time. I think this time we're going to rent because we're going to rent a double stroller. And we don't have one of those. So we're going to rent one of those.
All right. Well, it sounds like you guys had a great trip last year. Looking forward to another awesome trip here in just about a month. So, Aaron, thanks so much for coming on the show. And great way to start the week. So hopefully you're staying warm out in Indy.
Yes, you too.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. Check them out today, and you can still order in time for the holidays. Check them out over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And hey, if you're a procrastinator, this is a gift you can get, you know, Christmas Eve, maybe December 23rd. Let's don't cut it too close. But just go by touringplans.com. Get a premium subscription for your friends and family, $14.95 for the entire year. So for really the price of a couple of snacks down at Walt Disney World, and all you need is their email address. So check them out today. All the benefits you or they are going to get, they're over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And check out the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Also, don't forget, it's holiday season. I know a lot of people are still shopping online. Please support the Be Our Guest podcast with our Amazon affiliate link. They give us a small commission with each purchase. You'll get your Prime benefits. It costs you exactly the same. Just please bookmark it and click through our link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. I can't thank you enough for doing that. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, we're going to be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. But until then, for Aaron, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.